Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
Today we're going to have some fun, but despite the fun, there's also going to be some seriousness, and we're going to have a look at some things, and I just want to make a point. Some of you will remember that I actually did a video about an anthem for the European people. And if you want to listen to it after this video, you will find the link to my anthem video below in the description. When I was doing that video, I was trying to do something serious. I was looking for songs and music that I thought would be uplifting and would put the right kind of thoughts into the minds of the European people. So I was going through various possibilities in that video. But whenever I listen to music, or I find music and comedy skits, and I find something funny or of interest, I always go and look to see if the artist or anyone involved in it is Jewish. And I must tell you, I am horrified by how many Jews were big time pop stars in the days when I used to listen to pop music, either as I grew up or as I was a young person and going into my middle age. From my middle age onwards, I stopped listening to new music. So nowadays, I listen to the stuff from the past that I like, but I am horrified at how much stuff is Jewish. There are so many pop stars who are Jewish, and I wonder how many people have actually noticed how many of them are Jewish. And these are famous, famous names. And you can rest assured that the Jewish media, etc., has been hard at work. I am absolutely convinced that you will find, if you had to go behind the scenes, that you will find that Jews support other Jews, and that if someone wants to enter a music career or comedy or acting, then the Jews will quietly tell each other, that's a Jewish guy or that's a Jewish woman. And then all the Jews support them. And then the Jewish mass media, etc., all dive in. And the next thing you know is someone of basically mediocre talent or even low-level talent, the Jews push out so much positive publicity about this mediocre or semi-good Jew. And then people start catching on to all that endless advertising and fawning over this substandard or mediocre standard person. And with time, the constant hammering away of this kind of publicity causes that person to become famous. I am absolutely certain that Jews have got the whole thing down to a fine art of how to raise someone's profile and make them famous and make them rich, and also how to destroy people. So if they see, that's a white person and that guy is not really that friendly to us or this and that, we need to start kicking that person out and bringing that person down. I am certain that they use their mass media to raise up the people that they want and to help destroy or sideline or push down the people they don't want. I'm absolutely certain of it. And I've said before that I am certain that there is a glass ceiling. There are glass ceilings for whites, and that Jews put whites through all kinds of tests, and they check these people out and they say, you see that person? He must not become wealthy. We must not deal with that guy. We must find ways to screw things up for him. I remember old people in the white right telling me, for example, that there were two white guys in America who were billionaires, and they were into silver. And silver, in theory, should be a thing that you can make insane amounts of money with. But I was told that these guys who were billionaires were later destroyed. And as you can see, even with a guy like Trump, even though he's always sucking up to Jews like crazy, you can see the times when Jews are knifing him in the back and Jews are trying to work against him. Plus now he's got Jews in the family and they are also working on his mind, and his mind is weak and he's changing. He's changing away from, he had some mildly racist tendencies in the beginning, and now he's become a total buffoon and he's multicultural and all that kind of thing. Let me tell you that I am absolutely convinced that Jews are able to put out enough pressure in the world that they are able to influence the Western world far, far more than they should be able to for such a small group. Despite their money, they should not have a fraction of the kind of influence that they really have. Just today, I was listening to a podcast by Dr. William Pierce, which Alfred Schaefer had sent me, and I will deal with that separately in another video, because it was a whole podcast, quite a long one, by Dr. Pierce, over 20 minutes long, where he was talking about Jewish Hollywood and the blatant lies they tell, the bold way in which they can literally totally reverse the truth. They can take someone who's basically a freaking criminal, and the next thing you know, by the time the Jews are finished with this person, someone who's an outright criminal and murderer is suddenly seen as some kind of hero, some kind of innocent hero, and that everything that went wrong with this criminal scumbag is due to racist whites. And the more I look at America and Hollywood, the more I see lots of things from the past. I look at old films that were seriously famous, films that were on everybody's lips in the 70s and even earlier. And I look at the cast and I look at the storyline and I ask myself all kinds of questions. And the more I look at these old movies, the actors, the actresses, and in the days when people made musicals, and I listened to the songs and I listened to the lyrics, I ask myself, how much of this is propaganda? Why in this movie are they suddenly taking these whites, and the next thing is you see, in pops a Mexican, and the Mexican is now here, and suddenly someone falls in love with the Mexican. Why is this happening? I remember another book from when I was a kid. Now that we look at all this interracial stuff going on and diversity and everything, in 1960, a movie came out. There was a British movie, but it was based on a book. And that book was called The World of Susie Wong. And it basically was a story of a white man who falls in love with a Chinese woman. In a nutshell, in the film, you have a white American who meets up with a Chinese prostitute, and eventually he now falls in love with her. And so then they say, the movie is an exploration of the East and the West and prejudice and blah, 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 blah. One of the things that I think with regard to art is that a lot of art, whether it is comedy, cinema, music, or even stage, that all kinds of art, because art is not like engineering, it doesn't have to, let's say, work. If you're dealing with something like engineering, it would be pointless building a car that can't actually run, the engine doesn't work, it can't reach a certain speed, it can't do certain things. When you're dealing with art, there are basically no rules. So art can be almost anything, and art can be total crap. And there's a whole ton of art that can be total and utter shit, and then it can be misrepresented, or it can be malicious. And then they say, oh no, you see, we're just exploring this idea. It's just a feeling and a blah, 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 that kind of thing. So art is a place where you can really mess with people's heads, because these people and these situations are all fantasies. So they don't have to run according to rules. And when I look at art and I think of my minimal encounters with artists, like here in South Africa, I had a couple of encounters with people in the art world. And where I live, the suburb that I live in is an old suburb, and not too far away from it is another suburb, a couple of other suburbs, actually. Places like Melville, Auckland Park, etc. These names in Johannesburg have a meaning because they are close to the original South African Broadcasting Corporation. And all the journalists and TV presenters and actors and actresses used to live in these areas. And sometimes I have gone into some of those suburbs where they have shops and tea rooms, etc. And if you actually go and you get to know these arty types, I like to refer to them as arty farty types, okay? And you go and meet those people, and you ever actually hear them speak, or you have a conversation or a part of a conversation with those people, you will see that these people are nuts. These people are weirdos. And when I was a young guy and I came to South Africa and I was in the military and I was kind of finding my feet in the military in Pretoria, I made friends with an English guy, and that English guy turned out to be an actor at a important theater in Johannesburg, the Market Theater. And as I got to know this guy, he started telling me about life as an actor and the things they do, and I began to know about their personal stuff. And I realized these people are screwed up. He actually turned out later to have homosexual tendencies. He also tried to commit suicide. In the military, I was initially in a section that dealt with personnel. And we used to get access in our daily work to people's personal files. And one day I decided, after I'd known this guy for some time, I decided to go and get his file. And I, basically abusing my position, I went and drew his file. And I went and read about what was written in his file, including stuff written by psychiatrists who'd seen him, etc. And I picked up all these other things that he'd not told me. But my discussions with that guy made me realize that artists are crazy. And I will tell you that in South Africa, when you get into the artistic type of world and you see how they think, it is a Jewish-English mess. And then you get Afrikaans guys, Boers, who start entering that world, and they are infected by the mental sicknesses of these other artists. You'll see all kinds of liberalism and cynicism and weirdness. And when you get to know those people, then concepts like transgender and that kind of stuff comes as no surprise. I remember that guy in Pretoria telling me all kinds of things and the kinds of questions they ask and the kinds of things they speak about. These people are not normal people. But in South Africa, whenever you get English stuff, there is a massive Jewish influence, whether it is books, whether it is publishing, whether it is art, whether it is singing, you'll find all kinds of Jews in South Africa. They are the people of the word. And for people who haven't watched my video about Jews having a telephone line to God, you need to go and watch that video, because these people know the power of the word and the power of speaking and its effects, and they massively pump all kinds of rubbish into other people's heads. They are pumping stuff into people's heads big time. And in that particular show that Dr. William Pierce was doing, he was talking about their boldness, how they pump out stuff, how they don't put out accurate facts, etc., etc. In the past, I used to think of things like newspapers as something that informs you. I used to listen to radio as something that informs you. In South Africa, we only really had one TV company in the time of apartheid, so there weren't competing TV channels. But when it came to newspapers and radio, Jews were very active. Jews had radio stations and Jews owned all the English newspapers. Nowadays, I see mass media in all its forms, when it's in the hands of Jews and the wealthy, I see it as a propaganda tool. They are moving into the territory that used to be government controlled. And of course, when I speak about these artists who are demented and weirdos and creeps, remember there was one artist that wasn't like that, and that was Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler hated all sorts of demented art. He hated modern art and all this stuff where you have these weird drawings that basically look like they come from someone who's deranged. Let's turn our attention to a song that was performed on stage in Hollywood, Jewish Hollywood, and this song got a huge amount of applause. And no doubt all the millions of whites who were watching it on TV, or the handful who were so special and so elite that they actually sat in this audience of basically human garbage, they would all have looked at this thing and said, oh, this was so awesome. And you'll see the applause that they get. On the screen in front of you, you'll see some images that I put together. And the majority of this is from that show. And you'll see all these men in this weird position. When I went to the little town of Kulini in 2017 to go and look at the violence that the blacks had done there, I ended up making friends over time with some Boers in the region. And I went back there. And one guy introduced me to someone who'd been a Freemason. And I spoke at length over a whole weekend with this Freemason. And the Freemason even brought out and showed me his certificates and all his things from his time in Freemasonry. Freemasonry is another sickness. And this sickness might now be controlled by Jews. According to the Russian guys who wrote The Great Jewish Mosque, which I did videos about, there was a rumor in the late 1800s that the Jews bought up all the Freemason lodges of the world. And I think that that is true. So anyway, when I spoke to this white former Freemason at tremendous length, and I asked him what he believed, and I questioned him, and then I challenged him because I realized that he was a globalist, and he was a multiculturalist and a multiracialist. I came away with the impression from the discussions with him that he believed that by being a Freemason, you are part of a wider brotherhood, a wider worldwide brotherhood that is doing good things for the world. And so this brotherhood embraces everybody in every country, and the brotherhood is trying to move the world towards good things. So you could say that he believed he was part of a brotherhood of men. Let me now show you this stage performance of a song at a major event in Hollywood, one of these award ceremonies where these degenerates and fools and Jews are all working together and where they are now showing off their best stuff. And what you will see is a bunch of whites, mostly whites, who are performing this song and they are dancing, etc. And I'd like you to take a good look at this little setup, and you'll see all these people that are involved in it, and you'll see the name of the song, who's performing it, and what the words of the song are. And then look at what this song is telling you. The song is quite clearly intended to motivate people and make people, in this case whites, think that this is something good. And in the song, you'll even see your typical fat, overweight, bloated capitalist, the kind of capitalist that the Nazis would have looked down on. You'll see fat, bloated capitalist from all that easy life, too much money, too much drinking. And in the performance of this song, you'll even see a, quotes, white woman appear. And I got to tell you, when I look at her, I think that this is the Jewish hag of the show. So take a close look at the Jewish hag. She looks whitish. I don't know her name, nor do I really care, actually. But listen to her screeching. Really, she screeches, okay? And just watch this whole freaking performance. You've got something that looks white, but it's weird. And listen to the words and the things that come out of it and how it's performed. It's performed with a great deal of energy and a great deal of activity. But look at the moves and look at the men. I am quite a stickler when it comes to white men. I really think that white men are at their finest when they are in a sort of military kind of form, because military men aren't a bunch of weirdos. Military men command respect. They stand for power. They aren't a bunch of weirdos. When it comes to like the military and the police and all these official government types of things, they represent power. And the white male then represents power and strength. And he doesn't go around suddenly dancing in the street, etc. He gives orders and you listen. And if you don't listen, he'll sort you out. And I like that much more. I think that is the way white men naturally are and should return to being. And you can see that Hitler was creating those kinds of men. I have done videos where I have mentioned the kinds of men that Hitler was trying to create. And Hitler himself looked at society, looked at the world. You'll even find it in Mein Kampf, where Hitler looks at the direction in which people are going. And Hitler says, no, this is not good. What are you going to end up with? You're going to end up with a whole bunch of businessmen Is that really what you want to turn the world into? That kind of thing. So I will return to some of these other things later that Hitler said, but I want you to look at this thing and see the message that comes out of this thing. It's very strong, but I say that what you're looking at is a Jewish message. It's a message which Freemasons and liberals and impressionable fools will easily fall for. And people will look at this and they'll say, oh, but this is just art. It's just art. We're just having fun. But are you having fun? Or did a message come out of this thing? Maybe it's not a message that's going to change people's lives, but look at that message. And I want to tell you that when I look at the message that comes out of that song, the message is clear and it's a Jewish message. Oh, and when you watch it, watch the moves that the men make. Look at the dance moves and the way they dance and the way it's done. You can see these white guys are fit. They are fit. They know how to carry out their art. But look at the moves. Look at the moves that they make. And then say to yourself, is this exactly what would cause white men to be respected and looked up to? I don't think so, okay? Here's the song.
So please, all, please welcome Daniel Radcliffe, Tony nominee, John Larroquette, and the company of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
You see, Wally, I know what's on your mind. You'd like to clear out the whole crowd from top to bottom. But before you consider firing Mr. Bigley...
Whoa, who's considering that?
I would like to say a few words.
About what?
Humanity. Now you may join the Elks, my friend, and I may join the Shriners, and other men may carry cards as members of the Diners. Still others wear a golden key or small Greek letter pin. But I have learned there's one great club that all of us are in. There is a brotherhood of man, a benevolent brotherhood of man, a noble tie that binds all human hearts and minds into one brotherhood of man. Your lifelong membership is free. Keep a giving each brother all you can. Proud to be in that fraternity,
the great big brotherhood of man.
Thank you.
Now that you've viewed the song, I just want to play a short piece out of the song again. And just look at the visuals. And just look at their dance moves. And there's some really weird dance moves in there. That whole thing where the men are like holding hands and it's going through their legs and they're making all those weird moves. Almost looks like a bunch of gay crap, eh? These guys look like a bunch of gay goofballs, if you ask me. I can't imagine how the hell anyone who came up with that dance could come up with that. Just look at these goofy moves, some of which look kind of questionable, if you ask me. And ask yourself, who the hell thought this bullshit up?
And minds into one brotherhood of man. Your lifelong membership is free. Keep a giving each brother all you can. Oh, aren't you proud to be in that fraternity? The Gracie Brothers.
Isn't that dancing weird? And those men with their legs up and their hands joining underneath through their crotches. I must tell you, I find it quite bizarre. And this is from a Tony Awards winning thing, complete with screeching Jew. Did you see the Jew hag there? I have looked at that woman very closely. I must tell you. Just look at her real closely. You can stop the film footage and look at her closely. Just look at the shape of her face and everything. Yeah, she looks white, but she's like a bit of a weird thing. And I have looked at these Jews, and I have raised the issue of whether Jews are non-whites who interbred with whites until they became whitish looking. Because they're kind of whitish looking, but originally they could not have been white. And the end result is this whiteness, but it's a kind of a weird whiteness. And you'll see in their faces and their noses and just the shape of their faces, there's something different to any normal white. There's something kind of strange. I regard Jews as a kind of a semi-white, a wannabe white that interbred with lots of whites. And all Jews, except for the ones that are pure white who then converted to Judaism. But if you look at the ones that have got like a long Jewish line, it's like there's a little bit of weirdness there. These people are not true whites, but they pass for whites and whites get used to them. So there she is, a Jewish hag with her. Check her nose. Her nose is kind of wide. Face looks kind of strange, complete with all the screeching. And the fat capitalist. And all these guys behaving like this. Oh, there's a brotherhood of man, and we're all part of the brotherhood of man. That's a Jewish message, okay? It's total bullshit, of course. The Jews want everyone to believe that they're helping for the goodness of mankind, if they are controlling them through Freemasonry, but in reality, you've got a boss, and you don't know who your boss is. But just so freaking weird. And did you see the insane applause? People just love this thing to pieces. And I look at the audience, all these quotes, Hollywood elites, probably everyone a hardcore white-hating, racist-hating multimillionaire. That audience has got a lot of money. They've got a lot of money and a lot of influence. They are people who appear on TV. They're constantly telling America what is good, what is right, what is quality, etc. But if you have to listen to their reasoning and get to know them, you'll see these are demented fools. These are idiots. But they have been elevated by the Jews of Hollywood. They've been elevated to have social status, to have money, to have standing in society, and they are listened to and taken seriously. Meanwhile, they're a bunch of weirdos and goofballs, and probably all kinds of sexual degenerates and social misfits and all that kind of thing. I look at this and I say to myself, this is what happens when you leave these people in a society for long enough. Look at what has grown out of this. America wasn't like this 100 years ago, but now America is weird. And another thing that you've got here is you've got white people who have got some kind of talent. Let's say those dancers, for example. You've got white people who've got some kind of talent, okay? But now they're working for Jews. The Jews come up with the rubbish ideas and the weird ideas. Because the Jews have got money, then they say to these guys, listen, you must do it a little bit this way, do it a little bit that way, change that thing, I don't like this thing, etc. That whole issue of the art of management and the art of mismanagement, where you come up with your Jewy crap and you now give it to white people, and white people have to take your demented Jewy crap and actually turn it into something. And then these Jews pay them. Oh, that is such quality. That's such quality. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. This is a new standard in art, in modern art, you know? And they will then say, yeah, our bosses loved it. Our bosses loved it. This is great. We must do more of this. People do not realize what these Jew scum are doing once they have power. And as they have power, they create new kinds of garbage. And then that garbage goes out. And these whites have no idea that they're working for a hateful bunch of degenerate screwballs, and that they are influencing society. And they just think, oh yes, this is progress. This is progress. We've moved to a new level of quality. And they'll think, oh, look at what we did. They'll put it on their CVs. Oh, you see, I was part of this thing, and this is what we did, and we were paid so much, and so many million people saw it. Oh, it was so good. Those people are slowly imbibing and drinking of the demented Jewish thoughts, and it becomes part of them, and they accept it, and they work with it, and they think it's good. Meanwhile, it's a bunch of hateful, demented, weirdo Jew creeps who are actually making them do things. And that is how this little bunch of misfits and degenerates now start having an influence on the whole of society. They are constantly feeding this degenerate idea into music or into movies. And then it spreads, and you've got a whole huge segment of society that is quietly being infected with all kinds of delayed Jewish poisons. I've even seen in some of the writings of the Germans, I still want to go and find one of their pieces again, but in the writings of these German memoirs, I've come across times when the Germans are talking about things like fashion. I came across a reference to fashion and to Jews having some kind of physical problem. I'm not sure if it had to do with shoulders. And then the Jews changed the fashion to suit them. And this is what these Jews are doing, but they're doing it through art and music and movies and talk shows and all that kind of stuff. They are feeding their Jewish poisons and their Jewish degeneracies into white society. And slowly, you could say, Western society becomes Judeo-Western society. And then after decades and so forth, these people think this is normal and it's good. America seems to have a huge chunk of wealthy whites mixed in with Jews who have a wild hatred of anything that is white and racial. America seems to have a huge chunk of America that has this thinking that anything that is racial and anything that is white is inherently not only evil, but it is a lie. That everything racial is a lie. That whites lie when they talk about racial facts. I'm quite sure that you will find that Jews have played a huge role in creating this liberal mindset in America. And that mindset is fed by its media, and they've created this cocoon of liberalism, which is coupled with a hatred of anything that reeks of whiteness and white supremacy. And those people's minds cannot conceive of a truth outside of that. There is something quite scary there. And I'm sure that Hollywood played a huge role in creating that thing. And so now you've got entire cities full of whites who love faggots, who love multiracial stuff. They hate military. They hate government. They hate all kinds of things. And all they think of is business and capitalism and running around and doing anything that they feel like. And for them, even weirdo, degenerate stuff is stuff they want to be able to do without the nuisance of laws and other restrictions. In order for Jews to exist, I'm convinced that Jews need to bring standards down. They need to loosen up the law. They need to change laws and loosen things up so that things which previously were illegal are now legal. They need to change the standards to be lower because they don't like high standards. And they feel comfortable with lower standards and all kinds of degeneracy. And they are like birds that are busy creating the nest that they want to lay their eggs in. But they do that to humans. And they can't handle the standards, the strict standards of European people and European civilization. So they need to start breaking down society. Oh, we need to allow this, we need to allow that. You are too strict on this, you're too strict on that. We need our freedom. This is prejudice and so on. All kinds of Jew bullshit. And I think that a huge chunk of America, and I'm talking of white America, has fallen for this bulldust. And then they look on racial people as stupid, degenerate liars. And they think they are better. But they are the ones that are fooled. They are the degenerates. They have imbibed those poisonous fumes and they are actually busy destroying their own nation by behaving the way that they are. But their minds have been taken over by Jews and Jewish thinking. And returning to that song, did you see how those men were joining hands and lifting their hands up through their crotches, up to their bums? Like, what the heck is that? That really has got like some kind of weirdo, faggoty kind of move there. Really not normal, hey? I just can't see that as being normal. Yet there they're doing it and everyone is applauding this art. I have many, many questions about that thing. So that is from something at the Tony Awards, and they show this to the world. And when I look at that thing, I'm telling you, to me, that is an anthem for Freemasons, for liberals, and just for general idiots who don't realize that there are hidden messages and things sitting in this production from Jewish Hollywood. Jews are busy at nation wrecking as usual. We're going to take a look at a few other things, some of it on a less serious note. The next thing is the Jew, Billy Joel. Billy Joel is just one of so many, quotes, great pop stars. And then I go and I take a look and I realize, oh my God, this is a Jew. If you go and you look in Wikipedia, it says, Joel's father, a classical pianist and businessman, was born in Nuremberg, Germany, to a Jewish family. The son of a merchant and manufacturer, Carl Amson Joel, and educated in Switzerland. His father had created a highly successful mail order textile business, Joel Macht Fabrik, to escape the Nazi regime. So here you have a similar thing to a lot of Jews in South Africa, where you've got these Jewish scumbags from Germany who are doing their dodgy stuff in Germany, and they're afraid of the lawgiver, Adolf Hitler. So it says, to escape the Nazi regime, Howard's family immigrated to Switzerland. His father sold his business at a fraction of its value in order to emigrate. Yeah, I'm sure. And even if he did, I'm sure tons and tons of other money was moved beforehand. Jews don't walk out of these situations all poverty-stricken. The family reached the United States via Cuba, because immigration quotas for German Jews prevented direct immigration at the time. In the United States, Howard became an engineer, but always loved music. Joel's mother, Rosalind, was born in Brooklyn, New York, to Jewish parents, Philip and Rebecca Neumann, who emigrated from England. So you got Jew scum from Germany, wangling their way into the United States, marrying with Jew scum from the UK. And then it goes to say Joel's parents met in the 1930s, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, bottom line is Billy Joel is a Jew. And I was stunned by the Jews and Jewish hags that I've come across in pop music. Madonna. Madonna is another one. Madonna's a Jewish hag. And even in acting, there are like manly men in Hollywood that you would never suspect they are Jewish, but they are. Consider a guy like Kirk Douglas. If you ever watched old movies where Kirk Douglas starred, he was this manly, muscular guy. He looks pretty white. He doesn't really look like a Jew, and he's physically muscular and strong. He's a sort of a he-man. He's definitely got some good European genetics in him. But if you go and you look up his history, you'll see he was born in New York, the fourth of seven children, surname Danielovich. His parents were immigrants from a place in the Russian Empire, present-day Belarus, so that's north of Ukraine. And the family spoke Yiddish at home. It names all his sisters. And then it says, Douglas embraced his Jewish heritage in his later years. So what you got there is Jewish scum from Russia that ended up in the United States. And by the way, just a little bit about his father. It says, my father, who had been a horse trader in Russia, got himself a horse and a small wagon and became a rag man, buying old rags, pieces of metal and junk for pennies, nickels and dimes. Even on Eagle Street in the poorest section of town, where all the families were struggling, the rag man was on the lowest rung of the ladder, and I was a rag man's son. So he came from low-class Jewish scum, even low-class by the ranking of Jews. Anyhow, you would never think that a guy like Kirk Douglas is a Jew, but he is. And there are many others. Another one is Art Garfunkel from Simon and Garfunkel. He is a Romanian Jew. And it says, when he was young, he often sang in synagogue. His maternal cousin was Lou Pearlman, founder of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. At his bar mitzvah in 1954 in the Jewish Center of Kew Gardens, Garfunkel performed as a cantor, singing over 4 hours of his repertoire for his family. So you can see, real Jews with all the Jew crap, bar mitzvahs, synagogues, blah, 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 all that Jew junk, yet another parasite to infect America. And notice all of these Jews ended up in America from Russia, Europe, etc. in recent times. And just another note about Lou Pearlman, his maternal cousin. On Wikipedia it says, in 2006, this is Lou Pearlman, he was accused of running one of the largest and longest running Ponzi schemes in United States history, leaving more than $300 million in debts. After attempting to evade capture, Pearlman was apprehended in Bali, Indonesia in June 2007. He pled guilty to conspiracy, money laundering, and making false statements during bankruptcy proceedings. In 2008, Pearlman was convicted and sentenced to 25 years in prison. He died in federal custody in 2016. So Pearlman is one of those few Jews who managed to make it into jail, and he died in jail aged 62. I could go on for hours and hours just looking at Jews in Hollywood, Jews in acting, and also some of these weirdo Jewish comedians. But let me give you one last Jewish pop star. Mark Knopfler, the front man of Dire Straits. Mark Knopfler is a legendary guitarist. This guy is well known globally. He's like the main bloke of Dire Straits. And he's a British Jew. So it says, he was born in 1949 in Glasgow, Scotland, to an English mother and a Hungarian Jew father. So strictly speaking by Jewish definitions, he wouldn't be a Jew, but he definitely seems to have been regarded as a Jew because of his father, even though Jews normally only accept Jews from the mother's line. It says his mother was a teacher and his father was an architect and a chess player who left his native Hungary in 1939 to flee the Nazis. You know, yet more scum fleeing from the lawmaker and the lawgiver, Adolf Hitler. Knopfler later described his father as a Marxist agnostic. So his father was a communist, so a Jew communist piece of shit living in Hungary, married to a white woman, and there you go. I see that they definitely regard Knopfler as a Jew, so there you have it. Let me just read you a couple of names of Jewish comedians, and this is just a couple, this is just from a little selection. So you've got Jerry Seinfeld, Billy Crystal, Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen, Larry David, and ones from older times, Lenny Bruce, Jerry Lewis, Mort Saal, Shecky Green, Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett should be a name that's well known to people. Carl Reiner. A particular Jew that I think of regarding comedy is Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis has got a weird and strange kind of dysfunctional act. It's like the real Jew coming out of him. He is a typical sort of useless kind of a Jew. And he often did a kind of a nerdy type of act, Jerry Lewis. And if you actually look at some of their humor, many of these, quotes, famous Jewish comedians are not really funny. They're not really that funny, actually. When I look at some of them, their talent is really mediocre. They're not really that funny. But all that Jew publicity, Jew pushing, etc., eventually makes them very rich and makes them become famous and household names. But their actual talents are very weak. For example, the Jew Larry David. I don't really think he's funny at all. And then you get some Jews that are like low class. Adam Sandler, like really low class. And there are others. These people have got a mechanism for pushing their own. And even if their own are mediocre or substandard, they get the opportunities that other whites who are competing with them equally should have gotten. I knew a lady called Adriana State. She was a medical journalist here in South Africa, and she wrote for an English newspaper called the Rand Daily Mail. And she knew the Jewish hag Helen Ziller. And I've told you that Helen Ziller is a politician, but she used to be a communist. Anyway, Helen Ziller was a journalist. And Adriana State told me that Helen Ziller would get all the cushy assignments at the Rand Daily Mail, that Helen Ziller would get all the big stories, and she would get all the chances to do the stories that are going to get a big readership. So basically what she was saying is that other journalists, other white journalists, because they only had white journalists there at the time, I think, that basically all the other white journalists are being discriminated against, that they don't get the same opportunities as the Jewish hag. And when I look at these low-talent Jews in Hollywood and music and everything, I am sure that lots and lots of whites who would easily have been bigger names in music or in comedy were pushed down or held back, etc. You would just need to go and do deeper dives into people's biographies and autobiographies, and I'm sure you will find it if you make the effort. Like I say, Jerry Lewis is an example. I don't think Jerry Lewis is particularly funny, and the same is true for the musicians. Anyhow, let's take a look at something that was really big for Billy Joel, because we're going to have a laugh. A really big song for Billy Joel was Piano Man. So listen to this song. This is the original as performed by Billy Joel, because we're going to have a good laugh.
I'm not not really sure how it goes, but it's sad and it's sweet, and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes. La 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 la. Song tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for a melody, and you got us feeling alright. Now, John at the bar is a friend of mine. Gets me my drinks for free, and he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. He says, Bill, I believe this is killing me, as a smile ran away from his face. Well, I'm sure that I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place. Time for a wife, and he's talking with David, who's still in the Navy and probably will be for life. And the waitress is practicing politics as the businessmen slowly get stoned. Yes, they're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone. Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song. Saturday, and the manager gives me a smile, 'cause he knows that it's me they've been coming to see, to forget about life for a while. And the piano, it sounds like a carnival, and the microphone smells like a beer, and they sit at the bar and put bread in my jar and say, man, what are you doing here?
Now that you've heard Billy Joel's song, Piano Man, we're going to have a good laugh. There's a white American comedian and singer called Tim Hawkins. And from what I can see, he's a genuine white guy. And he was born in Missouri. And it says, early career. After college, Hawkins took any job he could to pay the bills. He rented cars, served as a substitute teacher, and also worked a dozen customer support jobs. He also worked as a waiter at Olive Garden, where his co-workers encouraged him to sign up for an open mic night at a local comedy club. It was at his first open mic night in St. Louis in 1991 where Hawkins realized he was always meant to do comedy. So this is a guy who is talented, and his co-workers could see this guy is really good. And once he started doing his stuff, he broke into the big time. And he's married and he's got a bunch of children. It says, personal life. Hawkins married his wife, Heather, in 1993. They have four children, Spencer, Olivia, Levi, and Jackson. He has one grandson. So seems like he's got a nice family and so forth. So watch this guy. You've seen the Piano Man. So watch this guy mock the Piano Man. And he does his story. And listen to his lyrics. Watch the way he does things all by himself. And you tell me if Tim Hawkins isn't serious, cut above Billy Joel.
So good. You've been such a wonderful audience tonight. Just keep shoving food in your pie holes right now. And don't even worry about that. My piano isn't even plugged in right now. Don't even worry about that. But I want to thank you so much. I'm going to do one more song, take a break, come back for my last set in about 20 minutes. You've been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming out to the Golden Corral. That's right. The Golden Corral, the greatest all-you-can-eat buffet God ever put on this green earth. Amen. Yeah. Thanks again for filling up the tip jar that's going to go to some of my favorite charities, like Tasers for Tots, CPAs Without Borders, and Procrastinators for a Better Tomorrow. A few announcements from the management. If we could keep some of the kids out of the chocolate fountain, that would be great. Just found a flip-flop in there. We're going to have to clean that out. Also, the folks from Wright City, use the tongs. People from Wright City, thank you so much. That's what they're there for. I want to do a little request for the folks before I say goodbye. It's 4 o'clock on a Saturday. A regular crowd waddles in. And there's an old man, he's at the register. An early bird with a quadruple chin. He says, miss, I don't need a doggy bag. Container made from styrofoam. 'Cause when I get the chance, I shove bread in my pants, and that's the way I take it home. Oh, la la da da da, la la da da da, la la. Bring us a tray, you're the buffet man. Oh, bring us a tray tonight. 'Cause you're salty and you're sweet, and it's all you can eat. We're bloated, but we're feeling all right. Travis, the chef, he's a friend of mine. He brings me a cinnamon roll. He says, Tim, I could be the manager, except that I'm still on parole. And Paul is a regular customer, with Pete his identical twin. And when they walk side by side, they're at least 10 feet wide. Nobody knows how they got in. Bring us a tray, all the buffet man. Oh, bring us a tray tonight. 'Cause you're salty and you're sweet, and it's all you can eat. We're loaded, but we're feeling alright. And it's a pretty good crowd for a Saturday, but the manager is going insane, 'cause he saw someone sneeze in the fresh mac and cheese. Now he's calling it Quiche Lorraine. And the pizza, it smells like a pizza. And the music is blaring Adele. Yes, I came in for brunch, and it turned into lunch. How about dinner? Oh, what the? Everybody sing out. La-da-da-da-da-da. Sing it out. La-da-da-da-da-da-da. Bring us a tray of the buffet man. Sing it high. Bring us a tray of the buffet man. Bring us a tray tonight. So sweet, 'cause you're salty and sweet, and it's all you can eat. We're loaded, but we're feeling alright. Hey, thanks so much for coming out. Hope you had a good time. Yeah!
So how's that, hey? How's that for American entertainment? Isn't that guy good? Look at all the work that must have gone into his act, how he did it, and look at the crowd. And the people were loving it. And he got a standing ovation. And look at when he had the people singing along and waving their arms and so forth, and how it ended with a whole standing ovation, lots of energy, everybody happy. And isn't that guy not only a real white American loved by other Americans, but isn't he healthier for America than that Tony Award rubbish that you saw earlier? And doesn't he have a whole bunch more talent than the Jew Billy Joel? That guy is really, really talented. I'm not saying the guy is perfect, but I must tell you, he's good. He can match any of those Jews and beat any of them at comedy, at music, etc. And he's just yet another white boy born somewhere in America without any special assistance, had to stumble and bumble and fumble his way along until he got a chance to show his real talent. And he really has talent. This is not a Jerry Lewis type of comedy or one of those other mediocre type of Jewish comedians. So he can do comedy and music all at the same time. Really talented white guy. And looking fit and healthy, hey? He's able to produce a nice clean act that the whole family can go to, and everybody would laugh their asses off and really enjoy his entertainment. There is a heck of a lot of white talent in America and everywhere else. There was even a quote I came across from Napoleon in his memoirs, and I need to go back to his memoirs and I'll pull out specific things and I'll find things like this again. But at a point, Napoleon was saying to the other people with him on St. Helena, his final prison, he actually said to them, in Europe, there is no shortage of talent. In Europe, there is no shortage of talent. And among white people, there is no shortage of talent. There must be insane amounts of white talent in America. And I ask myself, how much of that white talent is held back by Jews and other scum? How much of that white talent is prevented from being given a chance? And all kinds of mediocre and substandard Jewish talent is pushed to the fore. How many white people could have moved right up through the rungs of society in all aspects of life who've been held back by Jews, or even in some cases destroyed by Jews? Let's end off with a couple of examples of how white men really should be, compared to all that faggoty rubbish that you saw from the quotes Tony Awards that the whole world is busy watching, all those white men behaving like faggots and weirdos. Let me show you what white men really should be like. When whites are in groups, when white men are in groups, they should be like this. Take a look. Here is some music, and take a look at these guys. These are German Waffen SS marching. Look at those white men. These white men represent power, authority, respect. This is what the white male should be like. When white men get together in groups, this is the image that white men should be projecting everywhere. Thank you very much for listening today. I hope that you learned something new today. Look after yourselves and take care. We'll be chatting again soon.
Give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you will win every fight. You